Road of Life. Brought to you by Dove, D-U-Z, Dove, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent calls surgery. Dr. Brent calls surgery. Dr. Brent calls surgery.
Now, today I've got two pictures to show you of a lady you may recognize. The first one is dated B.D.
B.D.?
Before Does. Before this new kind of soap came into her wash. Before she knew that Does, D-U-Z, is best, that it does everything. Now, here's the picture, B.D., before Does. The lady looks over her wash line and says,
"Gosh, I'm tired. Those overalls took so much hard scrubbing. My towels don't look very white, do they? And my rayon undies look so washed out. They'll never last."
Now, here's picture number two. The lady who didn't becomes the lady who does. She's discovered Does is best. Does everything. It gives you unsurpassed whiteness for towels, unbeaten suds for cleaning, along with greater safety to colors. Here's the picture A.D., after dozing. The lady looks at her wash line.
Can you imagine getting those work pants clean without a smidge of hard scrubbing? And look how white Does gets my linens. Why, they're whiter than snow.
Why not? No soap made washes whiter than Does or gets dirty clothes clean easier. And how do your pretty colors fit into the picture after dozing?
Bright as can be. They last longer now.
That extra safety Does gives you pays dividends. You see, Does does everything. It's the soap that's best. Actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps prove it. Does has the best combination of white washes, suds for cleaning, and safety to colors. So be a lady who does. Does does best. Does everything. And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. For a good many years, the feelings of dislike between Grant Fraser and Jim Brent have been smoldering. Now, at last, they have burst into full flame. The enmity which the chief of staff of City Hospital has felt toward Jim is deep and of long standing. Year in and year out, he has tried his best to square what he considers outstanding accounts with Jim. Today, however, to use Fraser's words, he has him right where he wants him. In Fraser's opinion, this hour marks the beginning of Jim Brent's downfall. Whether or not the immaculately overdressed, sometimes suave, acid-tongued Fraser is correct remains for a meeting of the staff and board of trustees to decide. At the far end of the room sit the trustees. At right angles to them and ranged along two walls are the members of the staff. To form the fourth and final side of the square sit Jim Brent and his son John, Tom Parsons, another intern, various clerks, stenographers, and Grant Fraser. The atmosphere is filled with tension. The stage is set. The drama is about to unfold.
Gentlemen, this meeting will please come to order.
Mr. Leo Clark, chairman of the Board of Trustees, opens the proceedings.
As you know, we are present here today to examine and scrutinize the charges brought against a member of the staff of this hospital, James Ellis Brent, by another member of the staff, Grant Fraser. Now, I won't bother to read the charges. As they are stated formally, they're much too long for that. All of you have seen them. All of you know what they are. However, they're serious enough for me to give you a short resume. In a nutshell, Dr. Fraser has accused Dr. Brent of a deep, and again I must use the word serious, breach of ethics. It is Dr. Fraser's contention that, in an operating room in this hospital, before a sizable number of doctors and nurses, James Brent, consciously and deliberately struck him. Now, that, in essence, is the accusation made by Dr. Fraser. We, members of the Board of Trustees and of the staff of the hospital, are here for two reasons. First, we're here to determine the veracity of these charges, and secondly, should they be found true, to determine what degree of guilt may be placed on Dr. Brent. and what degree of reprimand he should be given. I hope I've made myself clear. If any of you wish to raise an issue, please do so now. Dr. Brent?
I'm sorry, Mr. Clark, but I can't entirely agree with that. I believe that we're not here to determine the degree of my guilt if I am found guilty. Since I am the person on trial, I feel, and very strongly too, that I should be found either completely guilty or completely innocent.
I agree with you in part, but I think I should remind you that if you choose this course of action, the result may be unnecessarily disastrous.
I feel it's the only course I have open, Mr. Clark, by which I can clear myself completely.
I see. Dr. Frazier, do you have any objection?
If he wants it that way, fine. It suits me.
Thank you. Now, one more point, and I think we can get on with the work at hand. That point, though, concerns the procedure we'll follow in this meeting. I, for one, as you know, am opposed to all kinds of rigid formality. Should any member of the board or staff choose to ask a question at any time, he may do so. Now, for the actual proceedings. Dr. Frazier, I'm going to call upon you first to explain to these gentlemen the causes which motivated you to bring about this meeting.
I'm not at all sure where to begin, gentlemen. Perhaps I should start by informing you that on the morning of...
I'll have to interrupt you, Dr. Frazier.
Yes?
We'll come to the story of what actually happened, as you see it, a little later.
But,
What we want to know now is why, after your disagreement with Dr. Brent in the operating room, why did you feel that it was necessary to bring about this meeting?
I see. I can answer that very simply. It's my belief, gentlemen, that the medical profession has certain high ethical standards, that those standards form a basic and important link in the chain of trust which binds the physician to the layman. Without those ethical standards, medicine and the men who practice it might very easily slip from the heights of respect and become a brawling, burly commercial venture. The maintenance of those ethics throughout dozens of generations has been a vital force in keeping the profession we follow at the level which we find it today. Any breach of these ethics, any move which tends to lower the dignity of medicine or of the men who practice it, I feel should and must be fought. It's for this reason and this reason alone that I felt it my duty to file charges against Dr. Brent. Other than a momentary flaring up of temper on his part, there's no personal animosity. My motives, as I've just said, are based purely and simply upon a desire for the good of the profession. I made myself clear, Mr. Clark?
Thank you, Dr. Frazier. Dr. Brent.
I agree almost entirely with Dr. Frazier.
No other comment?
Well, if you ask, about all I can say is that the only question to be decided is whether those high ethical standards Dr. Frazier has just mentioned are to be judged from a human point of view or from a cold analytical perch from which we choose to ignore the very qualities upon which the profession is based.
I see. Any further comment, Dr. Brent?
No, sir.
Very well, then. Suppose that at this point...
Mr. Clark.
Yes?
There are two interns who are present in this room. To my knowledge, neither of them is a member of the staff of this hospital nor a member of the Board of Trustees. Now, while I'm sure that both these young men will someday join our staff, I don't believe that they have a place in this meeting at the present time.
It's your purpose, then, to ask me to send those interns out of here? Is that right, Dr. Frazier?
Yes, Mr. Clark. As both boys know, I'm personally very fond of them. But until that day when I can welcome them to the staff, well...
All right. Will the two interns...
I'm sorry, Mr. Clark, but I'll have to object to half of that request.
Will you be good enough to explain your request, Dr. Brent?
I think Dr. Frazier is absolutely within his rights when he asked that my son, John, leave this meeting. I apologize for having asked him to come in with me. Naturally, he'll leave at once. All right, John.
Now, as to the second...
I wouldn't dream of asking Dr. Parsons to remain unless I knew he had a right to be here.
Sorry, Mr. Clark, but I see no reason
allowing...
If you'll be good enough to ask Dr. Brent why he makes the exception...
I've asked Dr. Parsons to come to this meeting because I intend to have him testify on my behalf.
Testify? Parsons is going to testify?
Certainly for... Dr. Fraser has no objection to that, has he?
Well, I hardly think it proper. After all,
why not?
Well,
if Dr. Fraser wasn't prepared to have Dr. Parsons as a witness, that's unfortunate. The fact remains, Mr. Clark, that Dr. Parsons was in the operating theater at the time the incident between Dr. Fraser and myself occurred. He had as good an opportunity to observe what went on as anyone. He was assisting me at the operation. He stood at the same table as I did. He saw what I saw, what Dr. Fraser saw. For that reason, I believe him to be as accurate and as competent a witness as anyone. And for that reason, I ask that he be allowed to remain present.
Mr. Clark, it seems completely unnecessary to involve an intern in the proceedings of a meeting as confidential as this.
I'm beginning to wonder, Mr. Clark, if Dr. Fraser objects to Parsons' testimony because he's afraid of it.
I most certainly am not.
Then if we're here to determine the truth of what happened, why not permit an eyewitness account to be given? Dr. Fraser, for some reason of his own, wishes the exclusion of Dr. Parsons. In the interests of clarity and truth, I ask that he be allowed to remain. But I won't press the point any longer, Mr. Clark. I'm perfectly willing to abide by your decision. You decide whether Dr. Parsons should be allowed to tell the story as he saw it.
Since the decision is mine, I say that Dr. Parsons be given an opportunity to tell what he knows and what he has seen. Dr. Parsons, will you be good enough to come forward and tell us what you have to say?
Seemingly, the first round goes to Jim Brent. But the testimony isn't in, and the facts have not been accepted. Victory is not yet won. And judging from the glowering look on Grant Fraser's face, it will not be easy. The other day, a worried-looking young fellow stopped me and said...
Look, Mr. Collier, is this does really all you say it is?
Well, of course. Does is best. It does everything in the wash. What's more, does everything for dishes, too. Then the young man said...
That's what I told her.
Her?
My wife.
Oh.
She hates washing dishes. Says there's never enough suds.
Oh, I said, she should does them. Does make suds that stand up till the last dish is done. Why, this new kind of soap pops into suds the second water hits it. Your wife won't have to keep adding soap.
She complains about scarring greasy pans, too.
Well, does will give her fast action on grease. It cleans up tough grease without any hard scarring.
She also fusses about her hands.
Oh, then she does want does. It's kinder to hands than any other leading wash day soap. You tell your wife does will leave her hands wonderfully smooth and soft. At that, the young man grinned.
Thanks, Mr. Collier. We'll does our dishes from now on.
Attaboy. You'll find does best. Because in the dishpan, too, does everything. Be sure to listen tomorrow when D-U-Z, Does, will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for Procter & Gamble, the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. Your grocer's paper bags and cardboard cartons have gone to war, so when you shop, take your own shopping bag or basket with you.